Well, we have an exciting tradition that I'm a huge fan of here at Community Bible Church, where on the Sunday after Christmas, whatever Sunday comes next, we invite three people from our congregation to share a testimony, a story of God's faithfulness, a story of how they have seen Jesus at work in their lives. And that was supposed to be last week, and it didn't happen. And I want to apologize formally that we didn't get the announcement out before 8 a.m. like we like to. And that's totally my fault, because I was full on in holiday mode and was not checking my email to see that there was a discussion about the fact that there was not just a snowstorm coming on Monday, but freezing rain coming on Sunday. And I will tell you that by the time I left the building on Sunday morning, which I think was around 9:45 last week, the whole parking lot was an ice rink. So I am glad that I don't ever like to cancel church, especially not on a prediction, but I am glad that we were able to stay home safe because it was slick out there. And glad that, thankfully, all of our testimony sharers were able to move some things around and able to move to this week instead. So again, this morning, we're not going to have a formal sermon time, but three stories of God's faithfulness, because great is his faithfulness in the lives of the body of Christ. And so I'm going to start this morning by just inviting Hannah to come up and to start that process. I pray that you'll give them your attention, give them your thanks after the service as well.
Hello. My name is Hannah Smith, in case you don't know me. I know many of you. Some of you have watched me grow up, but something you might not know about me is I'm very, very good at being anxious. I have yet to find a molehill I could not make a mountain out of. What I find very helpful, other than your typical read your Bible and pray, is hearing and remembering stories of God's faithfulness in my life and others. I know that if God never changes and he was with them in their hardship, he'll be with me whatever comes. So I wanted to share two stories of his faithfulness to me. Almost 10 years ago, I was in Bible school, which had its own challenges, but there were several hard things happening at home with those I love. I knew I was supposed to be in BC, but my heart was breaking for what was going on at home. I was sitting in class. I couldn't concentrate, so I prayed and told God that my heart is breaking and I need a hug from my dad, but he's on the other side of the country and I'm not seeing him for months. You say you're my heavenly father. I don't expect anything, but I'm just letting you know. After class, I went somewhere private to cry for a bit. Our guest speaker came up and asked me if I was okay, and I said, "Yup," in an attempt to not cry in front of all of my classmates. He said, "I don't think you are. Can I give you a hug?" This is like moments after I finished praying. It's almost like God meant what he said in Matthew 6:8, that your father knows what you need before you ask him. This guest speaker, who was only there for 1 week the whole year, and I had never spoken to, offered to give me a hug, but not only that, he was built like my dad, so it felt like a hug from my dad, not just my heavenly father. In 2019, I was working in a factory, and Daniela Kress told me that CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, was in desperate need of people to teach their summer clubs. I had volunteered with them all through high school, and I couldn't afford to take off the whole summer and go teach with them, but I could go for a week. This was some of my first interaction with CEF since I had stopped volunteering with them after high school. God was beginning to push me towards, like, actually working with CEF as a job. And I was using my skill of anxiety. I was scared that my dream of working with CEF would be crushed. But for the next 2 months, every sermon, Bible study, and podcast I listened to seemed to be pushing me to reach out. And I was letting anxiety win. So then God switched the tack, and work began getting uncomfortable. Relationships began getting more difficult. And I was just not comfortable in my job anymore. I finally accepted it was time. I needed to remember 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. I emailed the director and said, "Hey, you can call me Jonah, but we need to chat." All that ramp up, and when I met with him, he asked me if I wanted to join staff. I didn't even need to bring it up. God had paved the way for me. He had brought me on just in time to learn a whole bunch of new skills that we didn't even know we needed because of the 2020 lockdowns. And helped me discover new gifts and abilities. I'm still very good at being anxious, but I know it's only a feeling. It's not always the truth. I can look back and remember that when my anxiety was great within me, you brought me consolation and joy. Psalm 94:19. We can remember that God is faithful. We can trust him.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. My name is Ruth Constable, for anyone who doesn't know me. When Pastor Ander asked me if I would consider sharing my testimony this morning, I realized that this would actually involve a life review to some degree, which I think is always a good exercise, particularly as those decades fly by. It also makes me realize that we are who we are by the grace of God, but also molded by many life experiences that God either orchestrated or prevented according to his plan and purpose for us. And as we look back and reflect, we can see his hand in so many situations. I was born in a rural Ontario farm family. Our farm was a mile and a quarter west of Woodham on the Sunshine Line. I was the second of four children. I had an older brother by 2 years, a younger brother by 4 years, and a younger sister by 8 years. Both my older brother and I were given age-appropriate chores, which we were responsible for early on, and we learned that effort by everyone was helpful and an expected part of belonging to a family. Even in the one-room school with 8 grades, older students who had completed their work would be asked to hear reading from younger students who were struggling, or to give grade one students a page of printing. It seemed natural to use your talents to help whenever it was requested or needed. In many ways, it was the best of places to grow up. An abundance of homegrown fruits and vegetables, homegrown grass-fed beef, lots of fresh air and sunshine, and a community centered around a church. Now, the church in Woodham had grown out of Methodist roots, which were still evident when I was a child. We attended church on Sunday for an hour, and then everyone went downstairs for Sunday school for another hour, including the adults. I went to Mission Band, CGIT, and the usual groups for children. I especially remember my early teen Sunday school teacher, Alma Langford, as nurturing my faith. All social activities centered around the church, from the Valentine's social, the St. Patrick's Day supper, Sunday school anniversary service, Sunday school picnic, and that was just the first 6 months of the year. Add to that the fact that the old shed behind the church, which had been used back in the 20s to tie up your horses while you went to church, was used by the men in the church to put an ice pad in during the winter. And they took turns supervising so we could skate all winter, and we did. It was wonderful. The other high point in my childhood was summer camp at Camp Bimini near Stratford. Sitting on a hillside on a summer evening at dusk for Vespers was a time when Jesus felt very real to me. My mother said that I lived from year to year for that 1 week at camp. I attended confirmation class with many others from our young people's group, and at age 14, I was confirmed. Firmly believing in the truth of the scriptures we had studied and the promises we had made, Proverbs 22:6 comes to mind. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. High school years sped by, and soon I was off to St. Joseph's Hospital in London to embark on my dream of becoming a nurse. All nursing education in the early 1960s was still offered by hospital schools of nursing, where we lived, worked, and studied together. I wouldn't have missed it for anything. Among many other things, I learned respect for a different way of believing. Some things in common, other things different, but a faith that created a spiritually caring environment for the sick. Ours was a practical, hands-on learning experience with many hours of work. At that time, Metropolitan United Church in London had an evening service, which I always attended on the weekends I was working. I had met Jack by this time on a blind date arranged by a classmate, and we usually went to church together. This guy seemed like a keeper. The 3 years seemed to go by so fast. I graduated and worked a year, and then Jack and I married in 1966. It was so exciting to start building a life together. We worked, our family arrived, Darren and Dale in 1969 and Deanna in 1972. And then those busy parenting years ensued. By this time, we had returned to St. Mary's to raise our family and were involved in many ministry areas with the United Church there, where we attended for 35 years. Although at the time, raising a family can seem as if it's going to last forever, but in fact, those years fly by quickly, and before we knew it, the kids had finished school, were married, and we were empty nesters. Over the preceding number of years, each of us had been taking on jobs with increasing levels of responsibilities and time commitments. I had become involved in care of the elderly, which had been one area of nursing I originally never intended to work in, and had become passionate about quality care for those with Alzheimer's disease, which is a form of dementia. Then comes that moment when you look at each other and say, there has to be more than this. I can almost picture God saying, aha, at last I have their attention. Jeremiah 29:11 comes to mind. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. First, a man who worked with Jack asked him if he would be interested in attending a Christian retreat weekend called Curcio, which was being held in a Presbyterian church in Sarnia. This involved the men going one weekend and then the wives going 3 weeks later to a weekend with identical Christian content. At first, Jack had said, no, not just now. But several weeks later, after a particularly stressful day, he told Jim he would like to go. I went 3 weeks later, and it was a wonderful, encouraging experience for both of us. Then Jack was asked by a good friend, Al Hawkins, if he would like to attend a motorcycle rally at Shady Pines Campground in Elsa Craig with him and Eleanor in the summer of 1990. There was to be a service on Sunday afternoon. Well, who could resist that invitation if only for curiosity's sake? Well, it was amazing. The welcome and the fellowship was great. The evangelist, Tom Pittman from Arkansas, presented the gospel in a clear and unusual way. We met new people, Christian motorcyclists from around Ontario, and enjoyed a wonderful afternoon. As we drove home sharing thoughts about our day, I heard myself say, maybe we should get a motorcycle. I didn't need to say it twice. By the end of the next week, we officially had wheels. After many years in church, this was the beginning of Jack's Christian journey as he accepted Jesus later that summer at a rally in Michigan. We were introduced to music and teaching that expanded our souls and touched our hearts. When you stand shoulder to shoulder beside some hardened bikers who have tears running down their faces, praising God together, it felt as if Jesus would have liked to have been there too. 1 year, our evangelist was encouraging adult baptism for those who had been baptized only as infants. And Jack and I both felt that this was something we wanted to do. Doug Loveday, whom we had gotten to know through our son's involvements here with the youth at CBC, was gracious enough to baptize us here at CBC in 1995, even though we did not start attending here until 2003. Following that time, I can only say that Isaiah 40:31 became so real to us. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. For 20 years, we had the privilege to be ambassadors for Christ across the U.S. and Canada on our motorcycle with Al and Eleanor Hawkins and a wonderful group of Christian bikers. For years, many years, I had been the director of nursing at Kensington Village from the time it opened. And after 12 years, I started to feel a little restless. Maybe sometimes you wonder, have I given everything I can to this position and maybe it's time to consider something else? At any rate, I had read an article in the Toronto paper about someone who had converted a home and was taking care of people with dementia on a smaller scale. I was driving to work one morning in the late winter of 1995, and I was musing on what I had read in this particular article. I can tell you exactly where I was. It was dark, it was early morning, and I was turning off number 7 highway onto Highbury, and suddenly, you know how sometimes there's a thought in your head that you didn't think? And the words were from God, "You can do that." I was so startled, I almost swerved the car. And the words were there again, "You can do that." I thought, wow, could I really do that? Well, that started a whole chain of activities. And in 1996, in December, after much prayer and many challenges, Jack and I opened a small home providing care for persons struggling with dementia named Highview in London, based on Christian principles and business practices. I enjoyed the most personally rewarding years of my nursing career during that time. In 2003, Ross and Kathy Chapin purchased our small business and they built the first Highview residences in London. And since that time, they have built more homes and continue to provide excellent care for so many more residents and support for families. Highview Residences currently has gained a reputation for excellence in the healthcare community under the leadership of Ross and Kathy. Does God have a plan and a purpose for our life? I earnestly believe so, and our task is to be faithful and open to His leading, asking for forgiveness when we sin, direction when we stray, always open to His leading, and praying and trusting that we are living out His plan for our lives. I have to say we have been so blessed worshiping here with all of you these past many years. In conclusion, I want to share another favorite scripture. As believers, we need to remember that we all do sin, and so Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12 is my constant prayer. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Or as the New Living Translation says, and make me willing to obey you. Thank you all.
Well, good morning. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Jeff McLean. I've thankfully, and good Lord willing, been a member of this church for the last 25 years. As a young man, or as a young kid, my family and I attended church on a regular basis. It was very important to us, and we loved going to church. But unfortunately, as time passed, the church was replaced with a hockey arena. I was, and am very blessed to be raised by two loving and supporting parents who instilled in me a hard work ethic, who taught me the value of family and friends, and gave me the opportunity to play a game that I loved, where I made friendships that have lasted to this day. At the time, I didn't know what it was, but I always felt that there was something missing. It wasn't until I met a girl who would later become my wife, I would find out what was missing in my life. When Paula asked me this question, "Would you like to join my family this Sunday and come to church with us?" And when I walked through those doors for the first time 25 years ago, I knew I had found my home and took my first step on the journey that God had laid out for me. But the first few years were difficult for me. There were many times when I was asked to join a men's Bible study, volunteer here at the church, or simply meet one of the guys for a cup of coffee. I heard it said before, when you begin to do the Lord's work, that's when the devil comes calling. I let fear, self-doubt, and the feeling of not being good enough set in. And I would just simply not accept these invitations. Many of you have heard this before, but it wasn't until Sunday, May 19th, 2013, when our oldest son, Braden, was called home, that my life would change forever. As Paul and I struggled to say goodbye, I know God was there telling us it's okay to let go because I will continue to hold on to all of you. And on that day, I seen the love and the compassion and grace of our Heavenly Father. He placed in my life a gentleman from the church whom 20 years ago stood in the same place I was standing that day. He prayed for me, encouraged me that day, and reassured me that it might not feel like it now, but God is here. He is in control, and He will lead you through this valley. As the years would go by, God would bring many men from Community Bible Church into my life. Men who, when I first started attending church, I was afraid to talk to. Men who I thought were perfect, and I didn't think I measured up to them. But our conversation started small. Sometimes it would simply be, "I'm praying for you." Or, "Can we just take a moment and pray together?" Or a text message saying, "We are thinking about you and your family today." Then one day I finally agreed to a cup of coffee with one of the men. And as he talked and I listened, and after many conversations with others, I realized that these guys, whom I thought were perfect and I was afraid to talk to, were just like me. These men have stumbled, they have fallen, they have failed, have been discouraged. But by God putting these men in my life, He has shown me that it's okay to stumble. It's okay to fall. It's okay to fail and get discouraged. I don't have to be perfect. I just need to be the man that God created me to be. When God showed me this, I began to grow in my faith and my understanding in the gospel. God had taken the fear and doubt that the enemy was using to hold me back. I began asking questions, talking to others, and discussing scripture with family and friends. And I knew if I made a mistake, they made them as well. And if I fall, they were there to lift me up. We read in the Bible that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. By God's grace, He has taken a shy, fearful, and a man full of self-doubt to at one time leading the men's ministry here at CBC, standing in front of the same men I was scared to talk to and lead discussions at our men's Bible study, or standing in front of the church on a Sunday morning delivering a sermon. And also, watching the power of God working at my home. Paul and I have been through the highest of highs, and we walked through the darkest valleys. And someone once asked me, how do you two make it through the passing of a child? I simply replied, we didn't rely on our own understanding and strength to get us through. We kept and will continue to keep God at the center of our marriage, family, and home. And seeing God's work in our children's lives as they grow and mature in their walk with God, seeing them be able to do things that I can never do at their age, taking on the responsibilities of a job, singing in front of the church, being leaders in the classroom, speaking up when they don't agree with something, or when asked if they need a hand with a task, they simply say, you have already shown me how to do this, Dad. I have to learn how to do it on my own someday. It might as well be today. And I can't wait to see where God leads them in the future. And I would like to finish by saying, if there are any of you feeling fearful, doubting yourself, or feeling like you're the only one, you're not. You can look around this church. We have all been there. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone. Remember that that first cup of coffee might change your life. And I'd like to share some scripture with you that has helped Paul and I over the years. It is Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thank you.